Welcome to the podcast of Westminster Presbyterian Church in Greenwood, Mississippi. We are a community of Christians that exists to make disciples of Jesus Christ and influence the Delta for the glory of God. More information about Westminster can be found at www.wpcgreenwood.org.
I thought it was pulling my pants up. Well, this morning we're going to be back in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. Last week, we went through the passage where Paul was telling us that everyone in the church has gifts, and God uses our giftings to help build up the body of Christ. And we saw also in that passage that the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And so we have his word. We have the foundation that we need from Genesis to Revelation. We don't need a new word. We have God's word. And so that's what we saw last week. And this week, we're picking up Ephesians 4, verses 17 through 24. I'll read the passage and then we'll pray together. So Ephesians 4, verse 17. "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." Let's pray. Lord, we need your help this morning. I need your help as I preach your word. Help me to be faithful and get out of the way. Help us all to receive your word as Christ is speaking to us through it. Conform us into his image. Help us to remember who we are in Christ. If there be anyone in here who does not know Christ, please open their eyes to their sin and the mercy of God offered to them in Jesus. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. So as we look at this passage, you know, one thing that we can ask is, have you forgotten who you are? Have you forgotten who you are? You know, I believe that most of our issues, definitely a lot of mine when it comes to sin and just difficulty in this life, it stems from an identity crisis. You know, we see it in people in general, just out in the world. I mean, I had a family member a couple weeks ago tell us that they're going on a vacation to find themselves. You know, they needed to get away just one-on-one and find themselves, right? We see it in the world where no longer do boys and girls know that they're created, male and female. You know, we have disordered thoughts. We see this out in the world, but we also see it within Christians specifically, and that's what Paul is getting at here in this passage. He's telling us, out with the old and in with the new. Out with the old and in with the new, because if you are in Christ, the old you is dead, and the new is alive, and so we're to live like it. We see in verse 17, Paul, he gives a solemn charge. He says, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds." You know, in some translations, it's translated, "I declare and testify in the Lord." And the reason I add this is because it helps us to see that Paul is not offering us good advice. He's not saying, "Hey, church, you can take it or leave it." He is solemnly declaring this truth to us. It is a must for Christians. We are no longer to live according to the pattern of our former ways. It's clear. You know, think of how startling this must have been for the Gentile church for him to say, stop living like Gentiles. I mean, that's who they were, right? But he says this to them. He says, you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. Though their physical makeup had not changed, internally they were new people. They were no longer pagans. And elsewhere, we know in Paul's letters, he says, in Christ there's no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female. If you were in Christ, you have a new way of living. You know, it's instructive for us. It's why we ought not identify ourselves with our former lives. We don't walk around saying, I'm a drug addict Christian. That's who I was, but that's not who I am. We don't walk around saying, I'm a murderous Christian. I'm an angry Christian. I'm a gay Christian. That's not who we are. Whatever sinful behavior you took part in your former life, that's a part of the old man. It's not you. You have a new identity in Christ. That's not to say that you won't struggle. You will. But you have a new life in Christ, a new identity in Christ. You know, these Gentiles here, they were formerly pagans, idolaters, futile in their thinking, darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that was in them due to the hardness of their heart. But it's not who they were or are anymore. And so they must walk accordingly. And now when he says here, he says they were futile in their thinking, he's not saying that they were stupid. He's not saying that they didn't have learning, lacked education, or that they lacked common grace abilities to know certain things and create helpful things for society. But when it came to a knowledge of the one true God and how to be reconciled to God through Christ, they were ignorant. We see it out in the world. It doesn't matter how much learning you have. If you don't have Christ, you don't have anything. Futility. People are making up new ways to come to God in their minds. Or they make up in their mind the fact that they believe that there is no God. And that's what we see here. Formerly with these Gentiles, they were futile in their thinking. I mean, if you go read through the book of Acts and you get to Acts chapter 17 and you see Paul is walking through Athens, that great learned city, the best thing that they could do, the best that they could come up with all their learning was a temple to the unknown God. That was the best thing that they could do. And so, I don't care how smart you are according to worldly standards, if you don't have Christ, it's all vanity and futility. You know, this is the great pagan truth exchange that Paul describes in Romans chapter 1. Hear these words from Romans 1. He says, for what can be known about God is plain to them, to all people. It's plain. Because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. And at one point, this was us too. At one point in our lives, this was us too. And it may be some of you who are here now who have not trusted in Christ, that you are making idols out of created things, and God is calling you to himself today through Jesus. This was once us, but in his grace, God gave us ears to hear and eyes to see. You know, Paul's telling us, because we have this new way of life, we're no longer to live the way that we used to. It's who we were outside of Christ, but not so anymore in Christ. We had a life of futility. Futility is meaninglessness. It's like running a race without an end goal in mind. And that's what we were doing. This was our lot. We lived without godly purpose. We were just living for ourselves. We built our identity on shifting sand. We lived and pursued our disordered desires, following our deceitful hearts. And we acted out according to our darkened understanding. You know, I think of my former life, what was I looking for? You know, looking for life, looking for love, as the song says, in all the wrong places. Ultimately, because I know that now that I'm created in God's image, I was looking for Him in all the wrong things. I was created to worship, and I'm worshiping false idols. This was our life, but it's not who we are in Christ. So we must put away the old self with its practices. The old man that was our identity in Adam, we must put it away because Christ has put that old man to death. No matter how you feel or you think about it, Christ has put the old man to death. The old man in Adam. The old man that was marked by darkened understanding and wrong thinking. This is what, you know, theologians call the noetic effects of sin. Our thinker's broken from birth. We have wrong thoughts about God. We have wrong thoughts about ourselves and about the world around us. And these wrong thoughts are working together in a cycle with our wrong desires, and it just creates a cycle of idolatry, hardening the heart more and more as we suppress the truth about God. We were becoming like what we were worshiping to our own ruin. We worshiped deaf and dumb idols, and we were becoming more deaf and dumb spiritually speaking. Hardening our hearts, living licentiously, putting away God's law and living according to sensuality and greediness and every form of filthiness. Paul, he's not giving us a comprehensive list of all sins here. He's just saying it is this covers everything within these categories. You just put it in there, any form of sinfulness. You know, and Paul, he's going to get into some practical instructions in the following section. So in the coming weeks, we'll get into more of that. But before we dive into the do's and the don'ts of this life, we need to know, he wants to make sure that we know who we are. And who we are is not who we once were. You know, yes, we all know that the remnants of the old man call out to us. You know, you think about it. The remnants of the old man are calling out to us, just indulge a little bit more. It's okay. You know, if you really want to feel alive, just do it. It's just, you know, it's nothing hard. It's nothing big. It's harmless. You know, visit that website. Go look. You know, do what feels right. Leave your husband. Leave your wife. After all, you're not in love anymore. God wants you to be happy. It's okay to hate and harbor bitterness in your heart. Look what they did to you. You have every right. That's the motto of the world, the flesh, and the devil. The promise of sin in the old man is big, but the payoff is destruction. Sin brings fleeting pleasure, but an everlasting punishment. We need to remember this. And so because of these things, we need to ask, why are we going back to our old ways? I have to ask myself that question too. Have you forgotten who you are? Why are you going back to a futile way of thinking, of hopelessness? Where is your joy? The joy of the Lord is your strength. He's your joy. Where is your hope? The Lord is your hope. Where is your resolve to fight against the flesh? Have you forgotten who you are? Paul's asking us, reminding us this morning. Are you entertaining futile thoughts? You know, living in a headspace of emptiness, numbing ourselves with chemicals, social media, whatever. You put it in the list. Our passage today is like a smelling salt to wake us up out of our gospel amnesia. We must no longer walk as the Gentiles do because it's not the way you learned Christ. It's not the way you learned Christ. He says that to them here. He says, assuming that you've heard about Him and were taught in Him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Brothers and sisters, don't go back to your old ways, because that's not how you learn Christ. That is not how you learn him. You know, notice he doesn't say that's not how you learned things about Jesus. Though doctrine, truth about Jesus is important, that's how we grow to know him, but he says here, the object of our faith is a person, the person of Jesus Christ. He says it's not how you learned him. Think about what Jesus said in John 17. He said, in this is eternal life, that they know you, talking about the Father, and the one whom you've sent, Jesus. That is eternal life, knowing God through Christ. The Christian, you know Jesus. No matter what you think or feel right now, you know Christ and he knows you. Right? There's an intimate union with Christ via the Holy Spirit, which comes by faith alone. Jesus is your justification. He is your sanctification, your glorification, your wisdom, your righteousness, your holiness. He not only gives you those things, he is them to you and for you. What is his becomes ours through faith, because he is ours and we are his. Paul here, he's not doubting the Ephesians' salvation. You know, when you read that phrase, assuming that you've heard about him, you know, it seems like he's doubting it, but he's not. It could also be translated here, you most surely have heard. He's already told them in the letter that they were chosen before the foundation of the world in Christ. He's already commended them for their faith in the Lord Jesus and their love for all the saints. John Chrysostom, commenting on this passage here, he says, this phrase, surely you have heard about him, is not from one who is in doubt, but from one who is most certain, for surely you were taught in him. And I want to remind some of you this morning, because you need the reminder, because you've been living in a headspace of doubt about who you are and whose you are. And I want you to remember this. You didn't wise up one day and decide, I'm going to start following Jesus. You know? He came after you. He came after you. And it wasn't because you had done some awesome thing. You're on your varsity. You know, he wants you on his team. He came after you because he's a sinner and he chose to set his affection on you. It wasn't because anything you had or had not done. It's because Christ wanted to save you. And so he came after you. And so if you're a believer in here, just know that though we struggle with doubts throughout this life, know this, you would have never come to Christ on your own. He came after you. So lean into him. You know, you think about your life, when we first heard of, and when we first heard from Christ in the gospel, because it is Christ speaking to you through his word. It is Jesus speaking to you through the gospel, though I'm a man and I'm up here speaking it. It is him speaking through his servant and in his word saying, come to Christ, come to me. You know, we heard from him, the God-man that came to seek and to save the lost. He came to earth and he took on flesh and he lived a perfect, sinless life as the last Adam. In Adam, all humanity is lost and without hope. In Christ, humanity is redeemed and has a sure and steadfast hope. The Lord opened your eyes to see the truth. He opened your ears to hear it. He opened your eyes to see your sin, and he opened your eyes to see his mercy offered to you in Jesus. By his Spirit, he renewed your heart and gave it a pulse. He gave you the gift of faith and repentance as we receive Christ as he's freely offered to us. You know, and all of this that I'm talking about here, all of this that we have in Jesus, this great salvation, it's only the beginning of a long walk in a new direction. Jesus is our great prophet who rules our once darkened minds. Now he speaks to our minds through his word, and he gives light to our minds. Jesus is the great high priest who penetrates our dark hearts and hardened hearts and gives us a new one. And he is the great high priest who died in your place and forever lives to intercede for you. Jesus is the king who subdued your sinful will and now rules and guides you. Marcus Barth said this. He said, when Jesus Christ is our headmaster, the teaching matter, the method, the curriculum, the academy, then the gift of a new life takes the place of a diploma. And we've been called in Christ to this new way of living because we're made new in Christ. And you think about it. Apart from Jesus, there's only futility and darkness. In Christ, there's meaning and light. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. He is the light that illuminates our hearts, showing us the darkness that still remains, showing us the path of righteousness. His word in the Psalms, it says it's a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. We were blind, groping around for God, false gods. We were blind to the gospel. It was veiled to us, and then the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ shone in your hearts. And so now we can say with the apostle, I mean, this is true for every Christian in here. We can say this. We have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith. Right? This life I now live is by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. We often doubt that he loves us and that he gave himself up for us. But we as Christians, we can say these things. They're true of us. And so out with the old and in with the new. Because the old you was nailed to the cross with Jesus, and the new you was raised with him when he was resurrected from the dead and is seated with him in the heavenly places. That's a mystery, but those things happened. They happened in Christ. So if anyone is in Christ, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, he says, if anyone is in Christ, new creation. Christ was the first fruits of the new creation to rise from the dead. And if you are in Christ, new creation, it has begun. It is your present and it is your future. You have a new mind that is no longer darkened, but one that is being renewed by the Spirit. A mind that is ready to be taught by God. You know, when you think about it, like when you first believed in Christ, everything changes. You see the whole world differently. You see the world as a display, a theater where his glory is put on display. You saw everything differently. The world was a stage for his glory. You know, when you first believe in Christ, you understand now that you have a purpose. You constantly were asking, what is the meaning of life? Why am I here? But now you know your purpose is to live for God's glory and that he's working all things for your good. That doesn't solve all your problems, but it does give you the proper headspace to endure and walk through your problems, right? I know this is for God's glory. I know this is for my good. It helps us. And so we got to ask, have we slipped back into futile thinking? If so, remember that you're new. You know, has your heart been growing cold towards the Lord's? Toward the things of the Lord, remember that you've been given a new spiritual pulse that beats for God. Have you been desiring things that you know are contrary to God's revealed will? Remember this, that nothing in this created world can ever satisfy you. We constantly test that, you know, quite often. We think that, you know, it will, but know that. That's why we always come back, because nothing will ever satisfy us but God alone. And so knowing all these things, knowing that our old man was crucified with Christ and that our new has been raised with him, we must, as the passage said this morning, we must reckon ourselves dead to sin and alive to Christ. All human beings were created in the image of God, but we know that as a result of the fall, the image was tarnished, though not fully lost. And we see throughout the New Testament that God is in the business of restoring what was lost. He's not just in the business of saving us from the penalty of sin, but he also saves us from the power of sin as well, which is what Paul is getting at in these remaining chapters. We need to remember that the Lord is doing a major renovation work in us by his Spirit. He's making us more and more like Jesus in true righteousness and holiness. And so, as a Christian, we're really in the process of becoming who we are, which sounds crazy, but that's what we're doing. And I want to remind you, if you're in here and you do not know Christ, the Lord Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. He came to die for sinners. Children, you don't put it off until the last day and think that you're going to have someday later on when you grow up and you're going to be able to turn to Christ. Jesus calls to you now. He says, come to me, all who labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Believe on him. He's the only Savior of sinners. He calls you to himself. If anybody needs to talk about that, if you want to talk to somebody about that, come find me after the service. We can talk about it. But just know this, you repent, turn from sin, and trust in Christ. And for those in here, brothers and sisters, who have done that, stop going back to the old ways. Stop going back to that old way of life. Walk in newness of life, for Christ has purchased that for you. So like I said, in the coming weeks, we're going to see more practical exhortations as to what that looks like, what this new life looks like flowing from the new man. But until then, don't forget who you are. Out with the old and in with the new. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this reminder in your word this morning that you came to live and to die and to rise again, not just for the payment of the penalty of our sin, Lord, but to free us from the power of sin. You came because God the Father was seeking worshipers. And so, Lord, help us to see that worship is the most important thing that we will ever do. It's the one thing that will remain when we're in heaven. We'll be worshiping with all the angels in heaven. Ceaseless praise. Lord, but that's what you've called us to. You've called us out of darkness and into your light and to reform us, to remake us in the image of Christ in true righteousness and holiness. And so help us to remember that today. We love you in Christ's name. Amen. All right, let's stand.
Hi, Richard Owens here. I just wanted to take a second to say thank you for listening to the podcast of Westminster Presbyterian Church. Our prayer is that the Lord would use this message to encourage you in the gospel and that you would find Jesus to be more beautiful than you ever imagined. If you'd like to find out more about who Jesus is or more about our church, I invite you to visit our website at wpcgreenwood.org. God bless.